6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The Austin City Limits Music Festival is offering refunds to anyone uncomfortable with attending this weekend's event that follows the mass shooting at a concert in Las Vegas. The festival packs Austin's downtown with about 75,000 people each day. Austin police say there will be a high presence of law enforcement at the festival. A class action lawsuit has been filed against the owner of a Houston area chemical plant struck by fires and explosions after it was isolated by Hurricane Harvey floodwaters. The lawsuit was filed today in federal court. It says toxic substances were detected in soil, water, and ash samples from the plaintiff's properties located miles from the Arkema plant. The 15 residents named as plaintiffs linked the contaminants to products stored or made at the plant. Residents fault the company for not taking more precautions to control flooding since the plant is located in a government-designated floodplain. No response yet from Arkema. The National Book Awards announces its next round of finalists tomorrow. Dallas author Samantha Mabry will find out if her novel All the Wind in the World makes the cut. Mabry teaches at El Centro College. She was making copies for a writing class when she heard she made the first round a few weeks ago.
A lot of times in publishing, you have good news that you share for a day and then your moment is over, you know, and it's someone else's moment. But this has been a pretty big moment and it's been really exciting. But I still had to go and do my workshop on thesis statements, you know, the next hour.
Mabry's novel is one of 10 in the category for young adult literature. That list narrows to 5 tomorrow. Mabry knows where she'll be.
I mean, maybe I'll delay it for a second. But class starts at 9:30.
See if Mabry's book made the cut and peruse all the finalists tomorrow morning at artandseek.org. And hear more from Mabry during our State of the Arts conversation. That's Friday evening during All Things Considered. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, something that often pushes people living near poverty over that edge, children. New numbers from the Mayor's Task Force on Poverty shows a wide gulf in Dallas between the general poverty rate and the child poverty rate. Tim Bray runs the Institute for Urban Policy Research at the University of Texas at Dallas. He talked with KERA's Courtney Collins about why so many North Texas families are struggling.
Tim Bray, thanks for joining me.
Glad to be here.
What's the big takeaway from these updated numbers that the Mayor's Task Force on Poverty released?
Well, I think at the broad level, what we have to see is we're getting better, but we're still pretty far away from where we need to be. We're third place now among cities with more than 1 million people in childhood poverty. Unfortunately, our childhood poverty rate's still almost 1 in 3.
The thing I can't get past is how far apart the numbers are for poverty in general and child poverty, just over 19% versus close to 31%. Is that unusual?
It's not unusual. Part of it's a symptom of how we define poverty. So the Census Bureau defines poverty based upon the number of people who live in a household and the number who are children, which by definition means as soon as you have kids in your household, you're closer to poverty than you were before. Now, if you were pretty close, that can be the deciding point that drops you under the poverty line. When you're already working 2 or 3 jobs and now you have the added financial burden of a child whom you very much love and want to care for and want to provide for, there's not much more you can do to raise the income in your house. And Dallas is not an inexpensive place to live.
You alluded to this earlier. Dallas is one of the worst big cities in the nation for child poverty. Only Phoenix and Houston were ranked lower. What does that mean?
So part of the story in Dallas has to do with the makeup of our population. We don't have many families, or as many as other cities do, who are in that middle income bracket. And frankly, what happens when folks who, let's say, are closer to the poverty line, but they either get that promotion at work or they finish that associate's degree or that bachelor's degree, and they're ready to move into maybe a slightly larger house, those houses aren't available for them in Dallas. And so we wind up seeing them move to Mesquite or Garland or Irving or Richardson. And they're not in the city anymore. They're not in our numbers anymore. The real pressure for us is to make sure that our policies focus more on raising up those who are in poverty into the middle class, not simply importing middle class residents into the city.
These newly released numbers show that Dallas's growth is not really keeping pace with how fast poverty has grown in Dallas since the year 2000. What's happening there?
we have at the metro area huge growth in the region, right? So the Dallas region from 2009 to 2014 was tops in the country for the growth of new millionaires. What we see is a lot of that growth is happening in our suburbs, and particularly our northern suburbs, but also the Cedar Hill, Lancaster, DeSoto area has had booming growth. That growth is not happening in the city of Dallas. And the fear is we create this donut mentality where we have a not thriving central city with thriving suburbs. That is a recipe for disaster because, frankly, no region lives on the growth of their suburbs. They live on the growth of their center city.
What do you think is the one thing everyone in Dallas should understand about poverty, regardless of their income level?
The number one takeaway for understanding poverty is that 100% of the poverty line doesn't mean you have enough to get by. And I think that's the piece that most people don't understand. We think if in the city of Dallas, it's around $19,000, $20,000 for a family of four. Now, I don't think anyone in Dallas could possibly fathom surviving and thriving with a family of four on $20,000 living anywhere in North Texas, let alone inside the city limits of Dallas. That poverty line, that number represents how much is definitely not enough. And when we start to look at the real numbers, the percentages of folks who don't have enough to get by, who are at 150, 180, 200% of the poverty line, those numbers are deafening. These words came to me from Jim Washington, who spoke at one of our conferences. I take no solace in the fact that your end of the boat has a hole in it. It's not about passing laws. Those are good. It's not about policies. Those are important. But it's about changing our mindsets. That's where we have to be before we're going to start to see real meaningful change in the city.
Tim Bray, director of the Institute for Urban Policy Research at the University of Texas at Dallas, thank you so much for taking the time.
Very happy to be here. Thanks, Courtney.
October has arrived. It's getting just a little bit cooler, and pumpkin patches are open for business across North Texas. Miguel Perez with Art and Seek visited a few of the patches to find out how they're fueling pumpkin fever.
Whether you carve them, catapult them, or bake them in a pie, the pumpkin is undoubtedly the star of the season. At least 20 farms and gardens across North Texas have prepared displays of the fruit, welcoming visitors to get into the fall spirit. At the Dallas Arboretum, the Pumpkin Village has more than 90,000 gourds decorated in a Wizard of Oz theme. The Arboretum's Laura Dumas says they start preparing in the summer.
This takes our entire horticultural team and a lot of other folks at the Arboretum to put this village together every year. And the pumpkins actually come from Floydada, Texas.
And about 20 miles south of Fort Worth, you'll find a 70-acre farm with hay rides, giant slides, and apple cannons. Mariana Wilson and her husband own Mainstay Farm in Cleburne.
Look at this. It's nothing but green, trees everywhere. And the minute you exit off of 35 and you hit Bethesda Road, you kind of feel like you're in the country.
Make no mistake, there's more than just pumpkins in these patches. A corn maze in Midlothian, pig races in Canton, and hay bale mountains in Stephenville. Something for everyone looking for a bit of fall fun. Miguel Perez, KERA News.
The Art and Seek Junior Column rounds up pumpkin patches and other fall fun around North Texas. Check it out at artandseek.org. And coming up tomorrow morning, HIV is no longer considered a death sentence in the United States. And that's thanks to antiretroviral drugs, which were first introduced 30 years ago. Some of the earliest survivors are growing older, and doctors are discovering new health challenges related to HIV. That story is tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. Should be cloudy skies this evening. A slight chance rain with a low around 73. Tomorrow, cloudy. 20% chance of showers with a high near 86. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.